The scripture this morning is found in Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. And this, of course, is the passage that the pastor will preach on, and the kids are also going to be talking about this. I was thinking, wouldn't it be fun later to have a contest? See who's listening the best. Daniel in the den of lions. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except you, O king, should be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
All right. Well, and as Lori already mentioned, you can follow her, if you're a kid, to Children's Church. Did that rental of a live lion from the zoo come through, Lori? Or did that get rejected? Oh, it's all set up back there. Okay. If you want to see the live lion, go to the children's church room after church. No. No, we'll stay away from that. Following God can be dangerous, but we don't want to be unnecessarily so. All right, well, let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for your work in us and for your Spirit's presence here this morning. As we come to your word together, and as we listen for what your Spirit is speaking to each one of us, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of each one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, two questions. I think they're already written on the back of your bulletin at the top of the notes section. You don't have to write down your answer if you don't want to, but I'll ask it anyway. What's one thing you do each day to remain connected to God? If you want to share, you can. It's no pressure to do so. What's one thing you do each day? Pray. Thank you. Yeah. Yep. Reading the daily word. Yep. Reading your Bible. Yes. And if you do it each day, do you do it at the same time each day? Off and on all day. That's great. Okay. Second question is very similar, but it just changes the time frame. What's something you do each week to remain connected to God? Not necessarily daily, but weekly. Come here. Yes. It's a good one. Me too.
I try to help someone out in my neighborhood.
Well, wonderful. Helping out people in the neighborhood. That word each may throw you off a little bit. I know it does for me. Because I say, well, each day? I mean, you don't mean all the days, right? Or even each week. Yeah, I mean, I try, but it's hard to be that consistent at anything in this world, whether it be connecting to God or other things. Today we're going to talk about sort of the rhythm of our daily and weekly lives. So we'll talk about the daily office, something we can do each day to stay connected to God, and weekly Sabbath, which I'm sure you've definitely heard of. Sabbath. Generally we Christians consider today the Sabbath, why we gather here in worship. The traditional Sabbath was Friday night to Saturday evening. In the Jewish tradition, and in most Christian traditions, we decided that the resurrection was a significant enough event to actually move the date of the Sabbath keeping for God's people. So Sunday, which is the day that we observe Jesus rising from the dead, is the day that we gather for Sabbath, for worship. But just because we come to church doesn't mean we're keeping a Sabbath, does it? All right, a few thoughts on all this. First, came across this phrase and it kind of took my breath away a little bit. That all of what I'm going to talk about today, daily office, keeping the Sabbath, is in service to this sentence, stopping to breathe the air of eternity. That's kind of good, right? You know, John 3:16. You know, Billy Graham just passed away a couple weeks ago, and I John 3:16 was very famous Bible verse before Billy Graham, but I think he took it to the signs in football stadiums level because he preached John 3:16 in football stadiums, so I think it kind of made sense to people, right? To yeah, I'm seeing the Lions. I'll bring a John 3:16 sign with me today. Well, we say when we read John 3:16, the words of Jesus, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And it's very easy to defer eternal life to afterlife, right? We think of eternal life as something that begins maybe after we pass into the next life. But eternal life, I believe, was intended to begin right away. Now, it's a little more complicated. While we're still shuffling along this mortal coil. But we need to stop. We need to take some time every day, every week, to remind ourselves of eternal life, to breathe the air of eternal life. So all of this that I will talk about today, about these suggested practices of Sabbath and daily office, are in service to this goal: God. We can have a lot of goals for life, a lot of destinations, a lot of where we're headed. How about God as the very destination of our lives? If we're real intentional about it, we can structure our lives so that God himself is the goal. But it's not going to happen by accident. I mean, one day, a face-to-face meeting with God will happen, whether we're intentional about it or not, correct? But again, what about now? Can God be our destination every day when we wake up in the morning? Every week, every month, can God be the destination of our life? Okay. How many people have ever said this? I have too much going on to fit A, scripture reading, B, prayer time, C, church, D, Sabbath practice, et cetera, into my schedule. I have too much going on to fit it into my schedule. Anybody ever uttered these words aloud or in your brain? Don't tell me I'm the only one. I got too much going on to fit it into my schedule. Often, when we say that, we're not lying. Because we have too much going on to fit it into our schedules. But guess what that means? It means we got to adjust our schedules, right? That may be harder for some people than others, and it will be much harder at different phases of life than at other phases of life. Sometimes you have all the time in the world, you don't know what to do with it. Sometimes you're just looking for a chance to, like, oh, will I get to go to bed today? Or will it just kind of roll into the next day? Oh, yes. So here's the thought. Without careful, intentional planning of our daily and weekly rhythms, this, I have too much going on to fit this into my schedule, will always be true. Because if we're not being careful and intentional of how we're orienting and planning our lives, even if we do get a spare moment, a spare hour, a spare day, a day off, are we going to use it for scripture reading, prayer time, church, or Sabbath practice? No, often it'll be like, oh, I finally get to binge watch something on Netflix that I've been wanting to do. Or work on a project around the house, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We all have lists. And if we don't prioritize time with God, all the time gets filled up. So those are the key words there: careful and intentional planning. We need to orient our lives around these things if we want them to happen, because they don't happen by accident. And if they do happen by accident, that's because at some point in our lives we were doing it on purpose, right? If you built in the rhythms at some point in your life, well, maybe you just find yourself on accident. Something happens, I'm praying because, well, that's what I've learned to do. It's a rhythm that I've cultivated. This is how I respond to things. I pray because, well, hey, I started somewhere. So, but this is like 101 stuff. If we've never taken the time to plan or be intentional about cultivating a spiritual life, it's not going to happen. All right. In order for this to happen, we need to embrace our limits. I talked about embracing our limits last week. We can trace embracing limits all the way to the very beginning of creation. When God created Adam and Eve, they were the most free, they had the most unobstructed relationship with God that we could probably fathom. We can, maybe besides Jesus, because Jesus had a pretty unobstructed relationship with God as well. But even they had limits, right? The first limit that God gives humanity is this: you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? Built into creation was this limit. And any of you who has raised a child or encountered other human beings in this world, you know that whenever a limit is set, we like to go right to the outer edge of that limit and just test out the waters. And we often like to experiment on what it looks like on the other side of that limit. The serpent's voice said, "Surely you will not die. God wouldn't do that to you, right? It's not a big deal." And that voice continues in each one of our heads each and every day when we're testing out those limits. It's not a big deal. We will not surely die. But we have to understand that not living within limits has consequences. And of course, that's a big one. Lots of repercussions from that decision to not embrace this as a limit. And we continue to not embrace that limit. So this all has to be contextualized within your life. Daily office and Sabbath only work within our realistic limits, right? Some people have a lot of alone time. You may have a lot of alone time. You may have no alone time. Let's say you have kids and you run a daycare in your house. How much alone time do you think you have? I have kids in my house, but I do I come to work and have my alone time, which is odd because most people, you know, it's more common probably to be alone at home and then you go to work and be with people. I come to work, sit in my office, and there's nobody around. Often, not always, of course, but so we all have different rhythms, different environments, right? Is your environment loud? Is it quiet? Is it like conducive to being with God? Is it not? Are you busy doing other things? What kind of environments there are? Time constraints. Some people are on a very tight time budget day to day with life, right? Maybe you get like exactly 5-minute restroom breaks twice a day, and a 26-minute lunch period, and that's all you get. It all depends. Everybody's lives and time constraints, environments are different. So we have to think about this in terms of my actual life. So you're like, well, I have all the time in the world. I don't think anybody's saying that, but you may feel like you have all the time in the world some days, and then the other day, you're like, where did all the time go? Again, contextualizing. So first, I want to talk about the daily office, because that one is not as explicitly in Scripture as Sabbath, because we all know Sabbath comes from the Bible. If you've heard of the Ten Commandments, you know that that's in there. It's number 4 for those keeping track at home. The daily office is not something that is explicitly mentioned in Scripture, although in the story that Lori read for us, we see that the rhythms of the daily office have been around a very, very long time. And let me say, when we say the daily office, that sounds very odd. I'm using that language because it sounds a little odd to us. Office comes from the Latin word opus, which means work. So office means work of God. So when we say participating in a daily office, it is stepping into the work that God is doing. A very intentional stepping into the work of God. Right? So some of us, right, daily, in the morning over coffee or whatever, have a daily devotional. Sometimes, so a lot of you read Our Daily Bread. A lot of you read what's the other one called? Covenant Home Altar, thank you. I should know that. I really should. But the Covenant Home Altar. Some of you read other devotional. Some of you just get your Bible out and you're working through a book of the Bible. Some of you just spend some silent time in prayer. There are a lot of different practices. But the daily office is in some way stepping into the work of God. It's something that we have to do. We have to set aside time in order for it to happen. Generally, it is done 2 to 8 times per day. 3 is the most common number. Morning, afternoon, and evening. 2 maybe is a good common number as well. Some people spend a little time with God in the morning and the evening. Probably in the evangelical church, 1 time is the most common number because that's what we were told to do. Our daily devotionals. But throughout most of church history, the encouragement has been not just 1 time a day, but at least a few times a day. The Benedictine monks go with 8, including like 2 in the morning. They answer the bell and pray together. But you know, monks, they're praying all the time. I don't expect you to be a monk, but how many people have prayed in the middle of the night? Probably not gotten out of bed. Oh, see, everybody. Wow. See, this is why we're up in the middle of the night, because we need to pray, right? You know, you know this feeling. I was really surprised. I think every single hand went up there. So I have my intended practice is to have a 3 times a day office in the morning, midday, and in the evening before bed. The morning one is the most regular and always sort of I have the time, I make sure I do it. The afternoon one is interesting. I have a timer that goes off on my phone every single day at 1:20 p.m. Okay, it's actually a 1:30 appointment, but I have a 10-minute early alarm. And sometimes I'm in the middle of something when it goes off, right? I'm in a meeting, I'm at a lunch meeting, I'm doing something. But as soon as I see the alert on my phone, the words start in my brain. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then usually it rolls around a couple more times. Because for the first, I don't know, year of trying to do this afternoon office, those are the words I used every single time. The words that I said, well, Jesus said this is the most important thing, the greatest commandment. So I see the alert, and without even consciously doing it, the words start. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So doing something daily, using the same words daily. Maybe you pray the Lord's Prayer daily. Maybe there's something else that you do daily. But even if I'm in the middle of something else, that whole prayer can run through my brain. You can call it multitasking. You can call it what it is. But it's a rhythm, and it keeps me connected and grounded in God, even if I'm still doing something else. Now, that's not ideal, but on those days when there is something going on during the midday office, it holds me. Four components to a daily office that are important. One is stopping. I just told you a story of how I can sort of keep the daily office without stopping. The ideal is to stop. And at some point throughout the day, you need to stop. Because part of the point of this is that life happens even when I stop. It's a reminder that the world keeps spinning even when I slow down. That's a good reminder to get on a regular basis, even if it's only for a minute. Better if it's even longer. Centering. So it's one thing to stop and say, okay, I quit. I turned off the monitor on my computer or something. I stopped whatever I was doing. But now centering in God. Just a little alliteration for you, still, straight, and slow. Do what you can to be still, not fidgeting, not itching. Still. Straight, that's a posture thing. Keeps you awake a little bit better. And slow. And I think if you slow down your breathing, it kind of slows everything else down. So centering in God. Be still. Sit straight. And slow down. Again, you'd be amazed at just doing this for a minute in the afternoon, how it can connect you with God. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes if I just spend some time with God in the morning, by the evening, it can feel like that was a long time ago. Anybody know that feeling? In the book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, Pete Scazzaro says, I used to just do a morning devotional, and by the afternoon, I was getting irritable. By the evening, my family was questioning whether I was a Christian or not. And by about bedtime, I was wondering whether they were right. Now, that may be pretty dramatic, but hey. Again, I'm not talking about taking 20 minutes off work for silent meditation. But you may have a minute or two to carve out in the middle of the day. Silence. Again, silence can be a very powerful thing, and it can also be a very unrealistic thing, depending on what you do for a living or where you are or what your life is like, what your household is like. You can strive for it, but these are important things to shoot for in the daily office and Scripture. Scripture, whether it's memorized, right, like what I was just telling you, those words that I was saying are Scripture. I didn't have a book in front of me, but, you know, I have that one memorized. So sometimes going through the Lord's Prayer is also Scripture. You know, if you pray the Lord's Prayer, you're praying Scripture. But it's important to have Scripture as a component to the daily office. So that's one tool for our toolboxes of staying connected to God on a daily basis. Try it. If you've only ever done one day or one time a day intentional time with God, try adding a second time. If you only do the morning, add the evening or add the afternoon. Just try it. Again, add a minute. See how building something new into your rhythm connects you with God. And if it doesn't, if it feels like it's making your relationship with God worse, don't keep doing it. The whole point is that this is in service to connecting to God, not making more work for you, heaven forbid, because that's not the point. In fact, it's the exact opposite. Speaking of less work, weekly Sabbath. We get the command to keep a Sabbath in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, right? What's happening at that time? And what has been happening amongst the people of Israel? Here's what's been happening. They've been in slavery for 400 plus years. Who knows? Building pyramids is one of the theories, but slaves. Slave masters will probably not give their slaves a day off. And if they do, it's only in service of them being more productive after their day off, right? Any of you who've had a boss who's a slave master know that that's how it works. The only reason you get a day off is because you may be productive after your day off. And if you stop being productive your first day back, then you stop getting the days off, right? That's the slave master's mindset. But God liberates these people from slavery and gives them these Ten Commandments. And most of the Ten Commandments are like a quick sentence. The first few have a little bit more words. You shall have no other gods before me. But you get to the second half, you have, you shall not murder. That's it. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. Right? These are very self-explanatory, obvious things. When you get to command number 4, right in the middle, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And there's a full paragraph. Just as God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh, so you should rest. There's all this description about what the Sabbath is like, what it's for, and why we should observe it. It's a gift built into these commandments. I command you to take a day off. And not just a day off, a day of rest, a day to remember God. Because you can take a day off and not take a Sabbath, right? A day off can just be, well, I got to get everything done that I didn't get done the other days. But I can be working just as hard on my day off as I was when I was working. Sabbath is a gift to us. And I'm going to give you four things again, four components of a Sabbath. And it's the first one is the same, and that is stop. In order to observe a Sabbath, you need to stop. But stopping requires preparation. Because if I have a million irons in the fire, and I try to stop, guess what? My phone's ringing off the hook. I'm needed in all these sort of different things. Right? I was in the middle of fixing something, but I stopped. Well, are we going to deal with a sink that's completely disconnected for this whole 24-hour period? We only have one sink in the house. It requires some preparation. So if one of your Sabbath practices is that you don't cook, maybe preparation means you either need to have budgeted some money so that you can buy food the next day that's already prepared from a restaurant or wherever, or you need to actually like make meals the day before for being eaten the next day, if that's part of your practice. It doesn't have to be. But preparation is important. It can be hard. It can be hard to take 24 hours of real rest. It might mean getting all the grocery shopping done. It may be running some errands. It might be doing laundry beforehand. And for some of you, if you've lived a lot of years without observing a real Sabbath, that can sound really overwhelming. So maybe start with 6 hours. I can take 6 hours out of my week to truly just not do anything. And if you do those 6 hours right before bed, then you can count that whatever time that is too. So then you've got 6 plus 8. Then you got 14 hours. Then you only have 10 to go, right? Small pieces. Baby steps. So stopping does require preparation. It's important. Rest. Rest. What do you need to rest from? What do you need to rest in? Anybody here find it hard to rest? No? Good. All right. There's a couple. All right. Anybody find it hard to stop? I didn't even ask that one. Yeah. Stopping can be the hardest part. Rest. It sounds like nap time, which for some people that may be like the most important part of your Sabbath is to take a nap. Or to not set an alarm some morning. Maybe it is setting an alarm so you can do something exciting and fun. But what do you need to rest from? Is it just resting from the go, 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 go? Is it resting from your job specifically? You just need to rest from thinking about that job? And what do you need to rest in? And that's where some of these other practices come in. Resting in God, resting in Him will require taking some time, taking some space to really devote to Him. And that's why part of Sabbath practice has often been coming together in Christian community and worship, right? It's part of Sabbath. People always say, well, pastors can't take Sunday as Sabbath because they work on Sundays. And I say, but the church comes together on Sunday. So this kind of has to be part of my Sabbath too. Yes, I'm working. Only work one day a week, right? But gathered worship is so central to what Sabbath is that this has to be part of it, right? So, I have to supplement in other ways, but we got to be together. That's part of the importance of observing Sabbath. Delight. If there's one piece of Sabbath keeping that the Eastern European immigrant Protestant work ethic culture has snuffed out of Sabbath, it is delight. Sabbath was very all about don't do anything. Don't go anywhere. Don't have fun. Just don't. The message, the subtle message was don't. There's a lot of no's on the Sabbath. A lot of you don't do that. We don't do that on the Sabbath. You can't do that. You can't wear that. You can't talk about that. You can't do any of this on the Sabbath. But we forget that fundamentally from the beginning, Sabbath is rooted in delight. There has to be joy in the Sabbath as well. And yes, that requires limitations, right? We have to set limits for ourselves in order for it to be special, right? If we just keep doing the same old stuff and just more of it, then it's not a Sabbath either. But what truly delights us? And maybe you don't even know. Maybe you need to slow down to figure out what is actually delightful to me. Maybe I like sitting in a quiet room for 15 minutes because I haven't done it in 43 years. Maybe I just need to figure out what that is. Sabbath can and should be fun. Then contemplate. Should always be space for contemplation in Sabbath. And again, that's something we're doing together, right? That's what we do in worship. We contemplate God. We contemplate His scriptures. We dwell on it. We listen for what God has to speak to us. There may be more of that in your Sabbath. On your own, in your families. But when God gives His people the command to keep a Sabbath, to rest each week for 24 hours. I just want to give you this word. That is 14.25% of your life. 14.25% of your life. So, I don't know how much vacation time you get from your job, if you have a job currently. But when it comes to life, God says, mandatory 52 days of vacation at the beginning of each year. Mandatory. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Right? That's kind of similar. If we don't like to consider God our boss, especially if you don't like our boss. But it's a gift. Mandatory. 52 vacation days a year. 14.25% of your life. That's quite a bit. If you consider that, 30% of your life is spent sleeping. No, it's not quite that. Maybe it is 30. No, I don't know how long it is. Probably 30%, yeah. How many hours? It depends on how many hours you sleep. Okay. It's a gift from God. And few of us take advantage of what a gift it is. It's a gift that was created for us, that we might delight in God more, that we might enjoy His rest. Will we be more productive the other 6 days if we do take this rest? Probably. But the point and the reason for it is not that. The reason is that God loves us. God loves us and He wants to offer us gifts. He wants to give us good gifts. And what a beautiful one. Especially think about it, 400 years of slavery. I want you all to take 52 days a year off. Every one of you. You've been at the whims of slave masters for 400 years who could make you work 365 consecutive days with no day off. I'm telling you right now, my liberated people who I am rescuing from slavery, 14.25% of your life needs to be rest, delight, Sabbath, contemplation. Be with me. Stop to breathe the air of eternity. So whatever your wherever you're at right now, if you're not doing much in terms of daily office or Sabbath, I would not recommend trying to like just take it all in at once, right? I haven't taken a Sabbath in 14 years, and I'm going to start taking it every week, and I'm going to spend an hour a day, 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon, 15 minutes at dinner time, 15 minutes before bed, and I'm just going to fix it all at once. Baby steps. Baby steps. Maybe you're pretty far along this journey. Maybe you've been keeping a regular Sabbath for 50 years. If you are, I'd love to talk to you and learn how you did it. Take some notes so I can be the learner. And the next time I talk about the Sabbath, you can be the preacher. But how important it is for every one of us to stop and breathe the air of eternity. Let's pray. God, thank you for the invitation to stop, to listen, to quiet ourselves, to connect with you. We thank you that even when we don't seem all that interested in spending time with you or investing in our relationship with you, it is still the longing and desire of your heart to be with us. God, help us to slow down. Help us to stop, to center, to rest, to delight, to contemplate. To step into the work that you're already doing in us and in our lives. That we might live the way that you've called us to live. And experience the joys of the fresh air of eternity taking root in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.